Hi, this is Darren Root, Executive Editor of the CPA Technology Advisor for Intersection Live, and you are listening to Episode 23 of Document Management for Accountants to Go. I would first like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, for sponsoring today's podcast. I'm here with my regular co-host, John Higgins. John is a principal with CPA Crossings out in Metro Detroit. He's also a national expert on all things document management for accountants. So welcome, John.
Good morning, Darren. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. We were together in Michigan last week, and it didn't snow, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think spring is on its way. It's a great time.
Boy, I hope so. We've been up to our eyeballs in snow in Indiana, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's been a funny winter for a lot of folks in the country.
So, John, I was thinking today, one of the challenges I always have as a practitioner, and maybe you hear this a lot, is, I'm using Adobe more and more all the time, and I'm looking for ways to not have to print a document out, sign it, scan it back in, and send it off to somebody, which seems to be the way a lot of people do that. So I'd like to talk today, I'd like for you to kind of educate us on signatures in general and the different types and how we kind of go about that, how we digitally sign documents. Does that sound okay today?
Yeah, that sounds like a great topic. It's very timely, being that we're in the middle of tax season and a lot of folks are going to be sending out PDF copies of the tax returns. So anything they can do to make that process more secure is going to be beneficial to them and to the client. So definitely a good topic to get into.
Absolutely. So why don't you kind of lay the groundwork just in general on different types of signatures, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Okay. So let's start from the perspective of just kind of securing a document and authenticating the document. And when I say document, I'm, speaking in terms of a PDF file. We'll talk about PDF specifically here, but a lot of these concepts could be applied to email messages or sending Word documents or Excel files. But just to kind of keep it maybe a little more basic to start out with, we'll focus on the Adobe side of things and working with PDFs. And I would break it into kind of three pieces. One is you have the ability to just use the functionality of Adobe Acrobat to secure the document. And in our webinars, we get into this in a lot of detail. It's a pretty straightforward process, but you need to just kind of go through all the functionality to understand what the capabilities are. But the bottom line is you can apply a password to a PDF file and just simply control who can open up the PDF. But then also you can apply a second layer of security to say, well, when they open up that PDF, do I want to let them make any changes? Do I want to let them put annotations on the file? Do I want to let them potentially use what's called the touch-up tool to actually alter the contents of a PDF? We show this in our webinars from time to time, and I think a lot of people are really surprised. They didn't realize that someone could actually go in and change a number on a PDF file, and in fact, you can if it's not secured. So in the whole area of security, there's a lot of functionality that allows you to literally lock down the PDF. At the highest level of security, I could send you, Darren, a PDF that all you'd be able to do is simply view it on your screen. You wouldn't even be able to print it. You wouldn't be able to copy any of it into the clipboard to another, another file. So it truly can be locked down to that level where it's simply a view-only document. So that's just, covered under the what we'll call, password security.
Okay.
Then you have signatures, and there's really two types of signatures. One, I guess I'll call it more of a visual signature, and then the second, which is actually called a digital signature, which is a much more authentic and controlling signature. So let me try to kind of – let's go through the graphic signature first because we get asked about this all the time. And this would be kind of to your initial introduction comments there about, you want to apply a signature to a document, but you don't want to have to print it out, sign it, and then maybe scan it back in to send it just simply to get your signature on the form. Doing that in Acrobat is a pretty straightforward process. What you want to do is, first of all, you have to be familiar with the stamps feature in Acrobat. Most accountants and tax preparers who are using Adobe to work with PDFs are familiar with that. You have the check stamp, the X stamp. You have the dynamic stamps to indicate that you reviewed a document or approved it and so on. Adobe comes with a standard set of a couple dozen stamps that you can apply. So for a graphical signature, what you would do is just simply make another stamp. And without getting too far into the weeds here, basically what you want to do is get a Sharpie. We recommend getting a black Sharpie marker because they do a better job of giving a more consistent signature. Sign your signature on just a white piece of paper and scan it in. And the idea here is we're making the image that's going to become your graphical stamp. So you create that, when you scan that in, it'll create either a PDF file or a TIFF file, a TIFF file. And then the technical part is either you or you're going to need to get somebody who understands or has a program like Photoshop, and they're going to convert that scanned image of your signature into basically like a translucent image. They're going to use the features of Photoshop to remove the white paper background so that what you end up with is a stamp that truly consists of only your signature. And as I say, I think I'm using the right term when I say translucent, because you can just apply it. You can go and apply that anywhere to the document, and all you're applying is the image of the signature. And you can read through. So like when I sign my name, of course, the J has a hole in the top of the J. I would see through that. It would see through that so that if I sign it over some text, it's only my signature that's covering up the text.
Okay.
So you create that graphic, and then in Adobe, you can go into the stamps feature, and certainly the audience could go into the help feature of Acrobat, and it walks through this pretty succinctly. And basically, you just go in and you say, I want to create a new stamp, and it's going to ask you to point to the graphics file, and that's going to be that translucent stamp image that you've created out of Photoshop. And then anytime you have a PDF document, wherever you might want to sign a document, it could be a tax return, it could be a letter, maybe somebody sends you a form, a W-9 form to fill out, or anything like that, you can just bring up the PDF copy of that document on the screen, go to the stamp pad, and apply your signature wherever you want it located. And because it's a graphic, in Adobe, you have the ability, you can change the size of it. So sometimes you'll have a form where it just needs a small signature, sometimes you need a little bit bigger signature, shrink and expand it as appropriate. Now, when you do that, a couple things that you have to be aware of is that, one, first of all, it's not authentic in the sense that anybody could get a hold of your signature and kind of do the same thing. So that's where you get a big difference between that and when we talk about digital signatures as the next step. But so when you apply that, if you just apply the stamp and then email somebody that PDF file, well, that stamp is just an object, and if it's not, if you haven't secured the PDF, they can remove the signature, frankly. There's no security to it.
I think it's a great point. So if you sign something, John, should there be a next, let's say you just use your signature as a stamp, should you secure the document then before sending it out at that point?
Yeah, there's two options. The best would be to apply a security policy to it. And so one of the things you can do, as I mentioned before, is you could secure it to where they can't change anything on the document. So they can't go in and grab that signature object and delete it or move it or anything like that. They won't be able to touch it, frankly, only be able to view it. So that would be one way, is to apply, a security policy to the file. Another way, which is actually a little bit simpler, and I think, in a certain sense is actually the more secure, is that what I do often is I will, once I apply a signature like that, I'll reprint the PDF to a new PDF.
Okay.
And when you do that, then what happens is that what was a graphic or an object, a stamp in Adobe speak, now becomes just an embedded part of that PDF file. And so if I send that to you unsecured, it's fine because it's just, the graphic is embedded in the contents of the document. It's not a separate element on there anymore.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's probably a little hard for people to visualize this by talking over the phone, but it just hopefully they get in the picture a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I've kind of always fought that, and I hadn't thought about the idea of just printing another PDF, just recreating that PDF and printing it to secure that signature. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple process. You then, of course, end up with two copies of the PDF, but that's, you know, not that big.
That's what the trash bin's for.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the other thing I get confused with on that, John, on occasion, is, you know, I'm actually looking at an Adobe PDF now, and, you know, by nature, I have this, you know, I think about signing a document, and there's this toolbar, and in the toolbar it says, you know, sign. Okay, and
right.
That's not what I want to be thinking about. I've got to go to a different place to apply that stamp signature, right?
Right. You'd actually would go into the comment and markups toolbar, and where you have the stamp pad, and if you've created that custom stamp, as I was referring to, then it'll just be in your list there of stamps, and then you can go and apply that wherever it should be located on the document.
Okay.
Now, just to kind of extend that out beyond the PDF files, you could do the same thing, let's say, with an Excel spreadsheet. If you create a little budget spreadsheet or a tax estimate spreadsheet, you want to apply your signature to it, you could just go into Excel or Word, either way, and insert an object, insert that graphic file, that signature file that you made for Adobe Signature, and just place it wherever you want to place it on the Excel spreadsheet, and then do the same thing. Print that spreadsheet to a PDF, and your signature graphic will be embedded with the contents of the spreadsheet as well.
Got it.
So that's you know, the concept of applying what I've referred to as just kind of a graphical signature.
Okay.
Now, you can take it then to the next level where you would actually create what's referred to as a digital signature. And this is a digital signature. It gets a lot more technical, but what it is is basically you are creating an electronic identity or an electronic token that will actually identify you as the originator of that document, and it will authenticate whether or not the document has been altered since I applied my signature.
Okay.
Now there's different levels of this technology, and it's really hard to have a discussion about this without getting too technical, and I find myself getting confused about it on a regular basis, even just working with these things. But so let me start by saying that if you really are concerned and want to take your document security to the next level, then you're going to want to move into the world of digital signatures. What we find in our work with accounting firms is there's just not a lot of usage of these yet. But I know, Darren, you mentioned you're doing this. Am I understanding that correctly?
We are, with our RootWorks company, you know, we're sending more and more things out that we're wanting digitally signed, our contracts, for instance. And we're actually using a vendor called DocuSign to accomplish that.
Uh-huh.
But, boy, it'd be nice if I understood how to do it in Adobe. I always get confused when I get ready to, you know, if I use the toolbar where I go in and I actually say sign a document, you know, it starts walking me through a process that's pretty confusing for me, and I don't think I understand it well enough. So if you can kind of, I know it's hard to do when we don't have it on screen, but if we can, you can kind of talk me through that, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, and I think you're a good like leading indicator because of you know all that you do with the RootWorks and you know helping firms to kind of move forward and certainly in using technology in their processes. So this is a classic example where digital signatures are, you know, I think still on the leading edge. I believe they're going to become more popular over the next couple of years. You know, certainly we're getting faced with more and more regulations about, you know, protecting the privacy and of documents and such, and this plays right into that. So basically a little bit of background is that when you create a digital signature, what you're doing, there's two types of, well, this, when you apply a digital signature, what it's really doing is it's encrypting the contents of the document. So by the nature of applying a digital signature, you're establishing a copy of the document or file that's encrypted. So that puts you in compliance with, regulations where you have to have encrypted communications. And it applies a key, basically a what's called a public key and a private key. And so what happens is when you apply a signature to a digital signature to a document, It encrypts it, and it creates, using algorithms, it'll create a, what's called a like a hash total. That's the key, and that gets embedded in the PDF file itself. And so when I apply my digital signature, it's encrypting the contents, and it's embedding that what's called the private key. And then when I send you the file, you'll receive what's called a public key. So I would have a private key that is only originated on my end, and then whoever I send the document to would receive a public key, and that's what allows them to basically authenticate. So if I send you, Darren, if I sign my tax return with a digital, or I sign your tax return that I prepared for you with a digital signature, I email it to you, it's an encrypted document, you're going to open it, you'll have the public key that will basically be matched against the private key that was assigned when I affixed my signature. And when I say that, that's all happening kind of behind the scenes. You don't really have to directly interact with that. But what it will tell you is it will authenticate that, yes, this file that you received was sent by John Higgins. And it unencrypts it also at the same time, so that you're going back to where you, at that point, you can view the document and do the things you would normally do with it as a recipient of that file. Now, the problem with it's called PPK, public/private key signature. The problem with that is, Darren, you could go into Adobe or any really, like the Office tools allow you to do this as well. You could create a digital signature with my name. So it's not as trustworthy as people sometimes think it is, because anybody can create a public-private key using someone else's name and email address and the other things that would kind of somewhat authenticate who the person was. So what you really want to go to is what's called PKI, Public Key Infrastructure. And that's probably, what'd you say you were using, Darren, the service you're using?
We're using a DocuSign. It's just a service. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I imagine that's what they're using as the PKI infrastructure, the public key infrastructure. So what happens when you have a third party? The best analogy that I've found to help explain this is, think of manual signatures in the notary public. I think they still use notary publics, but certainly not nearly as much as they
used.
So the idea with the notary public is, if I'm doing maybe a transaction, a real estate transaction, or I'm going to sell my car, I would go to the notary public, and I would have to prove to them that I'm John Higgins, and then they would witness me signing a document, signing over the title to the car, for example. So the person buying my car knows that I have the signature of the notary public. They have a third-party verification, a trusted source, that is validating that, yes, this was in fact truly signed by John Higgins. So when we talk about public key infrastructure, it's the same concept. And there are a number of companies out there that provide this. Some of the more popular ones, VeriSign is a very popular player in this market, GeoTrust. So the audience could go to those websites, and this would be a good way for them to learn even more about this and maybe get a demo of it. But what happens is, then I would go to, say, VeriSign, and I would buy or subscribe to a digital signature using their public key infrastructure. And so the difference between that and when I create my own digital signature is, they're authenticating that I am who I say I am, because you have to, as you create a key, they do. And there's different levels, by the way. You can buy these. A menu of, you can buy a $100 signature, a $200 signature. And there's different price levels based upon how much or how reliable you want that verification process to be. And so when I go out and buy a digital signature from VeriSign and I apply it to your tax return that I prepared for you, when I send it to you, when you click on my signature, because in the PDF file it actually has a panel for digital signatures, it'll go out, you'll click on the signature, it'll actually either directly or prompt you to go out to the VeriSign site, and VeriSign will then validate for you real time that, oh yeah, that is John Higgins' signature, so you can be sure that is John Higgins' signature. as opposed to if I didn't use a third party like that, you have to just kind of assume that there's a basic level of trust that I create. I am the one who created the digital signature. But if it's a third-party signature, a PKI signature, then you have that third-party verification from VeriSign.
You know, John, where I think there's great potential use for this is in engagement letters for firms. You know, it's one of those things that we have to deal with on a regular basis, and, you know, they're all really, in essence, a contract that we need signed. So I think there's great use there. So whether you're using one of the more public services like the VeriSign or DocuSign or some of those, or you can create your own PDFs, I think this is probably a really valid topic for firms to start looking into.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, you know, there's like different levels because, I mean, a lot of people are sending out, we're talking at one end about the whole concept of public key digital signatures, but you've got people sending out engagement letters as Word documents without any signature, without any protections.
Yeah.
You know, you put in your rates in there, and there's what's to stop the recipient from just changing the rates and having that in their file. So it's all about, you know, a matter of just what's the proper level of security to apply to your documents. And for our profession, anything we can do to move further down that path towards a more secure environment is just going to keep us, at a minimum, in compliance with the regulations and, you know, hopefully even a little bit ahead of them because it's just good, you know, client service to secure the documents.
Well, as you and I have talked in the past, I mean, just not enough of the profession, really. We all use Adobe, but we've never taken the time to learn Adobe. And just the more we can really sort of figure all that out, I think there's huge efficiencies that we can gain in our firm by training our staff.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when you use third parties like the service you're using, Darren, I mean, that's always a good option because you know, it's hard when you're busy in a CPA firm doing all the work to service the clients to stay up on all these technologies. And
Yeah. That's
the beauty of this whole, you know, cloud computing model, if you want to think of it that way, to really outsource some of that more technical responsibility and just subscribe to the services and let them be the experts for you.
I got to tell you, the VeriSigns and DocuSigns of the world, they couldn't be easier to use. And, I mean, kind of the way that works, John, is we initiate one of our contracts with RootWorks. Let's say somebody wants to join one of our leadership communities. You know, we already have those standard contracts. We can update some of the verbiage. We initiate that to the other end. They digitally sign it. That triggers it back to us, which as soon as we digitally sign it, it sends them a copy of the full-blown signed document for their records, and we have a copy for our records, and it's instant, and it's really easy to do. So, yeah, I have to agree that it's a nice way to start thinking about going.
Yeah. And do you know what you're paying for that service?
You know, it seems like we pay about $35 a month per user. So, I mean, I don't know how many firm users, you know, one might need to do engagement letters, let's say. But it certainly makes it more secure and more efficient to accomplish that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like another, you know, form of insurance, too, to make sure you're going down the right path in terms of complying with the regulations and, you know, showing your clients that you're doing the right things to, you know, authenticate documents. And so that seems like a pretty reasonable price to be paying for that kind of service.
Well, the other nice thing about it is if the document is not signed, you can set up some of your parameters, but let's say the document's not signed in a couple of days or a day, it'll re-trigger an email reminders telling the person on the end they need to sign this until we get the document signed. So there's reminders too, so you don't have to sit there and keep thinking about, well, did I get that back? And you can manage all these contracts in one place as well, so it's really pretty handy.
Yeah, I mean, then you can think of all the benefits there is to you as a firm if there's ever a dispute about, well, I didn't get that document in time, or you didn't think I needed to sign it. Well, you'd have that whole history of the communications in your emails to go back and retrace that.
Yeah. So just to kind of summarize today, John, what we talked about is this whole idea of sort of really just a graphical signature, you know, placing like a signature stamp on something, which is pretty easy to do. And I really like your idea of printing the Adobe, the PDF, again to kind of secure that signature. So at a base level, we ought to be doing that, right?
Yes.
We want to step it up and learn the features of Adobe and get our digital signature there, our private digital signatures. We can certainly do that inside of Adobe, But if you want to go, you know, and Google DocuSign or VeriSign or any of these services, you know, a lot of them have free trials. That might be worth trying as well. Ultimately, the goal is to get practitioners starting to think about security as it relates to digital documents.
Yeah, and you know, to that point, too, if you get the trial, one of the things like we've done on our end is we'll just try sending some documents back and forth with people in our firm just to get the feel for the process. So that's a great way to get more comfortable with it in, without making a big investment of time or money.
Yeah, very good idea. So, well, John, we're about out of time today. Good topic. Thanks so much for all the information.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Good. Well, until our next recording, I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Have a good one, Darren.
You too. And I want to also thank ADP for sponsoring Document Management for Accountants to Go. Thanks, John.
Bye.